And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. On the news feed this morning from the Washington Post, here's the title of the article. It says, officials investigate mysterious illness linked to vaping. And I kind of thought to myself, what do you mean, mysterious illness linked to vaping? Every time a new article comes out about vaping, I try to read at least the gist of it. And folks, I'm convinced this stuff may be more toxic than even smoking cigarettes. I really don't know what to think about, Anyway, enough of that. Let me revisit this topic one more time, because I think this is important. I think a few weeks ago I covered the topic of sage, but I want to, you know, one of the consistent themes that I get questions from individuals is about cholesterol. So let me read this to you right here. Everybody knows what, well, if you don't know what sage is, it would be easy to look up a picture of it. And sometimes I think it's a beautiful plant. It has a very distinctive characteristic look. And I think the portion that I covered about sage that I find so intriguing, you've heard of somebody that has dementia, or you know someone that has dementia, or you have a loved one. Maybe it's a relative. Could be a husband or a wife. When a person has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, there is a structure in the brain known as the hippocampus. And the hippocampus deals in part with short-term memory. In order to make that work, you have to have a neurotransmitter by the name of acetylcholine. Well, enter sage. What do you do if a person has a deficiency of acetylcholine? Well, they're not going to be able to function the same way that you and I could function. Their mind is not going to be as sharp. They're going to forget and probably repeat the same question or propose the same question to you every 5 minutes. I mean, that might be a worst-case scenario. And so, sage is a plant. If you want to call it an herb, I'm good with that. If you want to call it a spice, that sounds good also. But they've done studies and they've shown this can be a very intriguing, beneficial plant when somebody has mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. Like anything else, you could probably grade every disease process mild or moderate or severe. Person could say, I have just a small amount of arthritis. Another person might say, well, mine's medium. Other people could be completely crippled from the most severe, radical version of arthritis. Well, they know that one of the unique properties of sage, a plant that you can grow in your garden or grow in a pot, is it prevents the body from breaking down acetylcholine. And so it's called anticholinesterase properties. I know that's a mouthful, but anyway, let me read this one study to you. And if this doesn't benefit you, maybe it will benefit somebody else, because what happens is Alzheimer's can sneak up like a thief in the night, and before you know it, it's too late. You know, even for the last 30 years. I keep hearing there's a new wonder drug that's in the initial stages of being tested, and if the tests go well, they will, you know, it's going to be a home run according to the drug salesman, and it'll be released on the market, and that'll be the end of Alzheimer's. Well, I don't think that has panned out. There's a lot of reasons why, but let me read the study to you. In one randomized placebo-controlled double-blind study, researchers showed that an extract of sage improves memory and attention in healthy older adults. Well, isn't that true? Quite often when somebody has Alzheimer's, their body is completely healthy. It's the mind that goes too soon. Another study gave sage extract to people with mild to moderate symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, and after 4 months, those taking the sage extract, they showed a significant improvement in cognitive function, less agitation, as compared with placebo group. I know what you're thinking. There's probably someone going, did you just say sage could produce less agitation in an individual? Yeah, I did. Wouldn't that be interesting if that worked? It says also when they've tried sage with younger populations of people, both far too young to have Alzheimer's or dementia, and guess what? It both improves the memory and the mood in younger people. Well, isn't that interesting? Maybe I should call sage one big honking cup of happiness tea. Anyway, let me get to what I was going to originally talk about. I realize this is the most difficult topic to address because we have so much information that's going one way. And, of course, I'm trying to give you information to kind of encourage you that might go a different way. But I'll let you decide for yourself. Even very small amounts of sage extract in one particular study is shown to have positive effects on a person's blood sugar. So if your blood sugar in the morning is 175, maybe this is information that'd be beneficial to you. Well, what if you say, hey, Dr. Morgan, my blood sugar is not 175 in the morning. It's only 106. Well, that's still too high. If we go back 50 years ago, or maybe even 60 or 70, what was the average blood sugar that a person would be able to take note of when they would wake up in the morning? Well, it was usually somewhere between 70 and 80. So this whole idea that my blood sugar is not so bad because it's just 109, are you kidding me? There's nothing you can do to stop cancer cells from growing if your blood sugar is above 100. It just is impossible. There's just too much available food. But even the use of sage extract has been shown to lower blood sugar. It's also been shown to lower your total cholesterol. It's been shown to lower that type of a fat called triglyceride, especially in people who have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You could say, Dr. Morgan, I have no money. Well, maybe for 99 cents you could buy about 200 sage seeds and you could plant them. I can't even tell you how many seeds I've ordered off the website called eBay for 99 cents. And the crazy thing is, most of them are free shipping. And I think, this is crazy. This is nuts. How could somebody spend time? But evidently there are people that have such a great love of plants and fruits and seeds and how to propagate them and help people grow more. But this has got to be a labor of love, right? Well, here's a study right here. And again, I'm referring to sage. The topic is about lowering cholesterol. In one small study, healthy women drank sage tea. You know what sage tea is? You take the leaves, you dry them, and then you pour hot water over them, just like you make a cup of tea for yourself every morning. This sage tea was made with 4 grams of sage. Do you have a scale? 4 grams is not much. That's pretty light. If you said it was 4,000 grams, yes, that would probably put a bruise on your foot if it fell. But they just took 300 milliliters of water and 4 grams of sage. Let's just say they took sage and poured hot water over it in a teacup. After 4 weeks, they had a significant reduction in total cholesterol numbers, and in the form of lipoprotein called LDL type C, which usually gets the name of the bad, bad, bad cholesterol, not the good, but the bad, while your HDL, that is the good lipoprotein, I know they call it good cholesterol, but it's not cholesterol, it's lipoprotein. So the bad LDL reduced, and the good HDL that removes plaque from your arteries, that increased. To me, that's like super simple. Well, what if your doctor has given you, or maybe a nurse, I'm not picking on anybody here, but what if you have gotten major, major grief from your doctor? If you don't start taking this cholesterol-lowering drug, I'm going to be all over you like a duck on a June bug. Do you want to die? Do you want to have a heart attack? Do you care about your family? I hear stuff like that all the time from people. That's why I'm repeating it. Well, what if you said, okay, let me do what I can to help myself and give me 6 weeks and let's come back and test it again? Well, what if one of the things you did was just drink sage tea? Or you took sage as a supplement? I mean, the stuff grows beautifully here in East Texas. Probably grows beautifully on the plains of South Dakota, or the prairies, I should say. What if you showed up and you said, hey, Doc, how's my cholesterol level? And he says, well, this is strange. I don't know what you've done, but your cholesterol's gone from 242 down to 199. Well, I would call that a major home run, wouldn't you? That's spectacular. Anyway, let me move on to my next topic. You know, I always want to present information to you that's just really simple, very easy, anybody can do. And I know sometimes it's very challenging to deliver good nutrition to children, especially in the age of junk food. I have parents call me all the time, and they explain what the only things their kids will eat are prepackaged, pre-made, you know, basically junk food. And I kind of think to myself, what is the world going to be like if we have every adult that's had, the third generation of being raised on junk food? Well, probably not going to be that productive. Probably not going to have fabulous amounts of mental energy and physical energy where they can do all the great things that God's blessed them with. You know, I read in Romans chapter 12 the other day when I was sitting in church service that if you have the gift of service, then serve. Now, I know my gift is not the gift of prophecy. Some people have it. I don't. But my gift is the gift of service, so why not serve? But you can't serve if you're completely mentally exhausted and you're sick and you have tremendous brain fog and inflammation. So let me share this with you right here. I'm looking at a picture, and I kind of thought to myself, I haven't seen these things before, but they're so intriguing. I asked a woman from Italy yesterday if she could find a source of these for me, because I wasn't willing to pay $79 to get a sea buckthorn berry bush or shrub or tree. But I'm telling you, when I've seen videos of these things, they look like a fabulous windbreak if you want to put them around the perimeters of the property. Of course, what I'm after is the such a unique, tremendous medicinal value or healing value or nutritional value of this berry called sea buckthorn. Have you ever heard of a sea buckthorn berry? Well, I think it kind of turns some people off because they grow really, growing well is not the problem. It's just the branches are loaded with these berries, but they also have one more small detail. It's called a thorn. I mean, have you ever been, reached in to grab like a piece of fruit only to receive a harsh prick or a stab of a thorn or a thistle? Kind of discouraged you. Well, to me, this is very interesting. This is one of the only plants, I'm talking about sea buckthorn, that contains all four omega fatty acids. And I did not know this, but you know, we're all learning, right? And so it contains omega-3 fatty acids. It contains omega-6 fatty acids. It also contains probably a rather rare omega-7 fatty acid as well as omega-9. But the picture that I'm looking at is they're just such a beautiful bright orange, not quite as dark as maybe a pumpkin that grows in Oregon, but a beautiful orange color. And the thing of it is, these sea buckthorn berries, they are so rich in vitamin C and antioxidants. I was reading about peaches the other day, and if you buy a white peach, oh, it's going to taste delicious. But the problem is, it's all sugar. It has no antioxidant value to it. Well, that is not the case with the sea buckthorn berry. They are so rich in antioxidants. By the way, if you buy peaches that are red flesh peaches, those are the ones that have all the nutritional value. Yeah, you can buy white peaches all day long. You bite into them, the flesh is white, and they probably taste like a candy bar. I just made that up. Probably not. But there's no nutritional value. It's just crunchy sugar, so it's a hybrid. So if you're going to eat peaches, why don't you get the red flesh peaches? That's what I remember us getting as when I was a child. Anyway, so they're saying that sea buckthorn, and see, this is to me, this topic is very, very, very intriguing. What do you do with a person that every time they go outside, they get burnt? Their skin becomes damaged. They can't tolerate the sun. Well, we don't have to overthink this topic, but those individuals, they have just a severe lack of antioxidants, nutrition from their diet. What would happen to you if you actually ate fruit and vegetables? You would feel healthier and stronger. Well, here's one study right here. Where did I read this right here? I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm with you. It comes from the Journal of Functional Foods. I do not take that journal, but I'm reading the abstract from it right now, which to me this is intriguing, but they're showing that when people have problems with their blood sugar and or cardiovascular problems, but what would that sound like? That would sound like the biggest problem that we face here in America. So if you want to say heart disease and diabetes, bingo, you win the prize. Well, they're showing in this study that, see, buckthorn berries, guess what they do? Now, I just mentioned that, see, buckthorn, it has one of the most interesting sources of omega-3, omega-6, omega-7, omega-9 fatty acids. But it lowers blood sugar. And I think if you just kind of set your mind like Flint that I'm going to be in better working order, my body is going to be in a better place toward healing and repair and rejuvenation and recovery if my blood sugar becomes lower. Do you know what the word recovery means? That means you can bounce back. Well, what do you do if you can't bounce back? Well, I guess you could take and drink 2 pots of coffee a day, but does that really make you bounce back, or is that like whipping a tired horse? Here's another one right here. In a 2017 study, it showed that ingesting sea buckthorn oil could support the digestive health. How many people out there have continual stomach pain and cramps and gas and bloating and they're in misery? So oil from what some cultures deemed holy fruit, that's the nickname of sea buckthorn berries, holy fruit. I'm pretty sure it's not holy fruit, but that's what they call it. That's just a cute, endearing term saying, hey, this stuff is really good for you. We'll call it holy fruit. But it's most commonly praised for protecting the skin against sun damage. It helps wounds heal quickly, which could be due to its high levels of omega-3 fatty acids and omega-7s. Well, isn't that interesting? You eat a fruit, and the benefits are your skin is more beautiful, it's healthier, it's more resistant to sun damage. Bingo! Now, if you don't mind braving the thorns on these branches, the branches are kind of long and skinny from what I've seen in videos on YouTube. What if you could actually take a blender? We're talking fruit here. Use your imagination. You can actually go to the store right now and you can buy organic raspberries, you can buy organic blueberries, you can buy organic blackberries, you can buy cherries. What if you put these in a blender while they're still frozen from the freezer? Because that's probably how you're going to have to keep them if you want to keep them from spoiling. Because everything that has a vital life force and energy that's good for the human body, it's going to spoil. You know this already, but a Pop-Tart, the raspberry jam in the Pop-Tart, that will not spoil because it's dead, dead, dead. There's nothing in there that actually promotes life or sustenance. And so when you take these frozen blueberries, blackberries, maybe half of a frozen banana from your freezer, and you put it in there and you take a big honking scoop of coconut milk because you want that rich fat, what if you put some sea buckthorn berries in there? What if you took one of my favorites? Have you ever heard of acerola cherries? I love taking acerola cherry powder and adding it to the blender when I make a smoothie. And the beautiful thing about this is, you're giving your children a raw food, meaning it hasn't been cooked. So if it hasn't been cooked, it's still going to be teeming with tremendous amounts of enzymes and nutrients. And these are things that your body actually needs. I've had a lot of people to kind of experiment with over the last, 30 years of doing this. And when somebody's in dire straits and you're trying to rejuvenate them, it's going to be really hard to get away from trying to encourage them to eat one or two meals a day that are raw. Now, that's just my opinion. And sometimes if it's hard to give nutrients or minerals or supplements to children or herbal remedies, you could probably sneak it in a smoothie and pour it into a popsicle mold, pop those into the freezer, and voila, you have popsicles made of real fruit that God himself has made for you. But wouldn't that be a move or a start in the right direction? Of course, you know how kids are. They need to snack constantly because they're trying to grow a body. Do adults need to snack constantly? No. If you want your diabetes to never get better, never go away, then I recommend you snack frequently. This is totally nuts. Basic biochemistry says if you eat a food that's rich in carbohydrates and to a lesser extent protein, your body has no choice to release insulin. So if you wake up in the morning, insulin's a problem. I mean, insulin is good. I don't want to say it's bad. But too much insulin, that is the problem with diabetes. If you want to cause diabetes as an adult, then you need to snack frequently. And I realize there's one thing that always causes people to want a snack. It's called stress. I don't know anyone that doesn't have to contend and deal with stress. Now, there are some beautiful people out there that you could talk to. And they say, Dr. Morgan, I learned a long time ago to turn everything over to God. And you talk about beautiful. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Boy, that was quick right there. Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, listen, I have a trigger finger. I can hit it in a half second.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I got to tell you, the reports and the studies that you speak of, they are so uplifting. I mean, I'm telling you, they really help a lot.
Thank you so much.
You know, the thing you were talking about, the diabetes, real quick before I get into my issue, you had spoken about the the folks in India, where they 63% of the billion plus are suffering from diabetes because of all the rice they eat.
Well, and potato,
I don't know if you remember that study.
Yeah, well,
right.
That's one of the factors, but all of them are super, super low in vitamin B12.
I understand that. I had mentioned this to a friend of mine who was a successful restauranter. He started several Japanese restaurants where one of the main things that they sell is rice, and he told me that it's a standard in the industry to make up the rice in huge bulk and then put it in the refrigerator overnight.
Oh, that's genius, though.
I thought so, too. He says, no, we're already doing that. That's not an issue with us.
I went, okay, no, but that's good to know, though. So if somebody doesn't know what that means, when you take either potatoes or you take rice and right. You cook them up fresh, if you immediately take them while they're ready to be eaten, instead of eating them, you put them directly in the refrigerator overnight.
Yep. My mom used to do that with baked potatoes.
Well, do you know what that does? It welds some of the sugar together. So essentially, if you wait and eat the rice the next day, once you heat it back up, or the potatoes, you get half the carbohydrates. So if you still eat potatoes, you just don't get all the sugar, which we don't need. Yeah.
Which is exactly right.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I thought you might get a kick out of that. Let me jump into an issue I've got right now, and I'm going to try to be real brief because I know you've got a host of fans that are looking to jump onto this radio here. Let me build the picture real quick. When they did my partial hip replacement, the X-ray showed that I've got osteo. Okay, that's number one. Number two,
osteopenia or osteoarthritis.
Good question. No, not the arthritis. The blackening.
Right. You've had bone loss. Okay.
Okay. And I'm bow-legged. The femur kind of curves in a little bit, and the I can't remember the name of the big bone, the shin bone, bows out and then curves into the knee, which means that the hinge of the knee is not really quite in sync. So there are nights when the knee locks up on me. And so, you know, to straighten the leg out, it's like bone on bone. It's very painful. that's not really the issue right there. Every once in a blue moon, I get some Charlie horse type of cramps in my calves. And potassium and magnesium tend to take care of that, so it doesn't happen very often. But it wakes me up when the cramp is starting to build.
Oh man, that's horrible.
It is horrible. I've as a kid, I just never really understood the old people when they talked about this kind of stuff, but I do now.
Yeah, but you do now, yeah. Oh goodness.
Yes, sir. So the thing is, about 6 weeks ago, I had a massive cramp start to build up, and it woke me up. And instead of hinging the leg straight from the knee, on the leg that had the partial hip replacement, mm-hmm. I thrust the leg straight, because I learned if the leg was straight, it eased the cramp. And the cramp was already starting to build, which means that all my muscles and stuff were being constricted. And when I straightened the leg out from the hip, the bone on bone in the knee, but B, I think I either tore the tendon or ligament or muscle, or maybe even cracked some of the, you know, that long skinny bone that runs outside the shin bone.
Mm-hmm.
Might have cracked that up. So I've been living off of Advil, Aleve, and what's that other stuff? Acetaminophen, massive doses. The maximum I can take on each of them, and that's the only way I can actually walk.
But you're in just brutal pain all the time, aren't you?
Unless I'm taking one of these over the counter pain relief.
Does the pain diminish greatly when you sit down and relax?
No.
Okay.
And nor does it when I lay down straight. But I alternate it. I'm concerned about the damage to the liver. So the
acetaminophen, we got to get you to a different place to where you don't need the acetaminophen, because yeah, that's just brutal on the liver and the kidneys.
It is right there. So I alternate acetaminophen and Aleve on Monday, for instance, acetaminophen and Advil on Tuesday, and acetaminophen and massive doses of aspirin on Wednesday. And I know about the leaky gut and all the damage, and I'm trying to keep it a minimum dose.
Does putting ice or heat packs on it give you any relief whatsoever?
Ice helped a lot. It did temporarily, and direct pressure, the pain actually moves, so I'm thinking it's tendon.
But, okay, so pressure actually helps, right?
Yes, sir, it does.
Well, do you have a pencil and paper handy? Let me give you a little formula that you can make in your kitchen.
Okay, I actually have my stuff in hand. Go right ahead.
Okay. All you need is a half of a cup. Well, actually, you could probably make it thicker or thinner, however you want, but you need olive oil.
Okay.
And usually a half a cup is what you're after. But you just take one tablespoon of ground ginger and one tablespoon of ground black pepper. So if you were to go to the health food store and get, you know, those black peppercorns that people, you know, like.
Yes, sir.
I love pepper. I don't know if you do. I think it's
fabulous. I do as well.
But if you have a coffee bean grinder, I've seen them for like $8 or $9 at the store.
Yep.
You just pulse that and it turns it into a fine powder, which is what really, this is what you want. A tablespoon of ground up black pepper and a tablespoon of ground up fresh ginger or dry ginger is going to be perfectly fine. If you will put that on the stove and just kind of warm that up in that half a cup of extra virgin olive oil, that's gonna be a pretty heating. But if you'll rub that all over that tendon several times.
Oh, rub it.
Yeah, if I had you take that, you would never rubbing. You would never forgive me for that. You'd say,
okay,
I will never trust Dr. Morgan again. But if you'll rub that if you will just frequently rub that where you have the horrible, horrible pain, give that just a few days and see if you're in just a much, much better place as being able to say, okay, I don't have to eat Advil like candy anymore.
Okay. We'll give that a try right there. You seem to think, your expertise, I know, besides nutrition, which you have a font of information. I'm really impressed. I pass on your stuff all the time.
Oh, you're too kind.
But I understand that you're a master in chiropractic as well. So I thought, well, you would be able to tell me just from what I told you And I'm not going to hold you to it. Well,
no, but
you've had some
damage. As a general rule, any time that you try to walk or move that leg, if the tendon's been torn or inflamed, it's just going to hurt like all get out.
Yep, it does. So you tend to think it's more tendon than muscle or bone?
Well, you know what's famous about tendons? When tendons are inflamed and torn and irritated, they ache and hurt all night long when you sleep.
Yep.
Does that ring true?
Yeah, it does. So that pretty much.
If it was just a muscle, most likely it would only hurt when you try to move that muscle or make it work. But if it's a tendon where there's been a tear all night long, so
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you could be laying in bed minding your own business, and the moment you try to turn over, you go, oh, my word, what is that? That ache, that is terrible. I can't take it anymore.
Okay, so my next question, last question really is, if it was bone, I would think stay off of it. Now, should I exercise and utilize this
well,
tendon,
know,
or should I just let it rest?
If I tried to choose one thing for you to see how this is going to go, this is what I'd say.
Okay.
You know how sometimes garage sales on the weekend, today is too hot for a garage sale because you'd die. You'd burn up I'm joking. But if you went to a garage sale and they had like an exercise bicycle for $5, I would get it. And so
I can't do bikes anymore. My knees lock up. I'm sorry. I just can't do a bike anymore. I used to love bikes. But
well,
I can't do
that,
anymore.
That motion and movement, and I'm just talking about very gentle pedaling in that circular fashion. That's
right.
Got to be one of the best things for the knees I know of, even the worst knees I've ever seen. If you can ever get them to where they can regain their ability to just gently put their legs through that motion, even on a website like Amazon.com or Academy or eBay, you can buy these little bitty exercise pedals you can just put in front of your chair just to move your knees.
Okay, well, that makes sense, I guess, right there.
So it's just an idea. I mean, you don't have to worry about falling off if you do that. They're like $25.
last thing for a friend of mine, talking about this, he is a big proponent of diets and foods and stuff. He's on the keto diet, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
lots of meats and stuff. And I've mentioned your stuff to him all the time, all from time to time. And he wanted me to ask you: are there any foods that are anti-inflammatory? NSAID,
absolutely, and even you don't know what I'm looking at right now, but I'm looking at an article showing that I'll just read it to you. In 2018, researchers found that these berries protect against arthritis by blocking the COX-2 enzyme linked to pain inflammation. Guess what that fruit is? It's a raspberry. So when you eat,
I knew that about berries.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, the picture I'm looking at, it just shows a bunch of freshly picked raspberries. It's beautiful, by the way. But if you put those in your body, that's a living food. It's been shown to block those COX-2 inhibitors. That's the same thing that you're trying to accomplish by taking the NSAIDs or the anti-inflammatories.
Right. Just raspberries, not blueberries, eh?
Oh no, all of them are good. That's just the article I had in front of me.
Okay, any kind of major berry,
yes,
right there. We're
so,
talking fresh and not okay.
Well, no, I don't mind if they're frozen. I mean, just the logistics of this time of year, you're not going to go to the raspberry or the blueberry farm and find anything. It's all gone.
Now, my wife and I used to pick up. We used to do berry hunts all the time. You know. Okay, well, that's cool.
What would
y'all
look for? The dewberries?
Oh, whatever grew on the stuff next to the railroad tracks and stuff. We used to just go with baskets and just pick them all up, you know.
Oh, that's great.
All right, we're good to go, sir.
Okay.
Once more, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You have a great day, man.
You too now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. All righty. There we go. I'll push the button off. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. You know, there's no way around this. You've got to have something nutritious that's called food if you want to live. Yes, I've heard stories of people living without any food. I just don't believe them at all. What would you tell a newborn baby? Don't eat? Come on. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let me read this to you right here. I'm looking at this article about raspberries. I just love this stuff because, you know, raspberries, they are so delicious. They taste so good. Or is that just only my opinion?
Could you imagine, though, if you could wean a child off a heavy junk food diet and start inserting things like raspberries and strawberries and blueberries and blackberries, you could have a child that has radiant health. Or, you know, I'm being very sarcastic as I say this, or you could take the child to the pediatrician every 2 months for some antibiotics for a sore throat or an ear infection or a sinus infection or another case of pneumonia or bowel issues. But that's the way the world is set up. Everything is for convenience. But what if you do your homework and you decide, you know, I want to turn over a new leaf here. What if I could give this child or give my husband some food that's actually real? Well, in this study from 2016, they found that the polyphenols, which that's the name of the nutrient. I know that sounds kind of complicated, polyphenol. But that's what you find in raspberries. And they found that high amounts of these polyphenols and their dietary fiber in red raspberries, they decrease the risk of metabolic conditions such as cardiovascular disease and diabetes. If that is not the leading cause of death in the United States right now, then nothing is. That's just ridiculous. Everyone is dying of heart disease and diabetes, or the complications of diabetes. And here's the rest of it right here. Raspberries can also reduce the symptoms of arthritis. According to the same study, thanks to their anti-inflammatory properties, and of course, Tylenol is an anti-inflammatory, and Advil is an anti-inflammatory, so is aspirin, and ibuprofen, and Aleve, and a jillion other, or, you know, naproxen sodium, the rest of them out there. They're all anti-inflammatories. Well, what if we just take a step back and say, what would happen to my body if I actually started consuming raspberries? What would happen? Well, in 2018 researchers, they found that these berries, the red raspberries, they can protect against arthritis by blocking the COX-2 enzyme linked to pain inflammation. Maybe that's what I should say from now on. If you have arthritis, you probably have a deficiency of cherries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, dewberries, loganberries, masonberries, black raspberries. No, you know I'm sort of joking about that, but you've got a choice here. Are you going to please yourself for the moment with a bag of Doritos, or are you going to put something in your body that can actually help rebuild the tissues? I've got to believe if you're listening to this program, you're just like I am. You are literally believing through faith that God has designed the body to repair itself. But you have to give it a chance. You have to create the right circumstances. And so sometimes just making that one change in what you're eating can be a huge game changer. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling. Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
I'm calling about the RA. What else besides berries and cherries helps the RA? My husband and he takes awful medications, but it's still terribly, terribly bad.
Well, I'm only going to tell you what I would do if it were me. If I had a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, I would just eat two meals a day. But what I would do is I would really compress those together to a close, narrow time frame. Because study after study shows that when somebody has very severe rheumatoid arthritis, if they fast for 3 days, which means they don't eat. Now, when you fast, you can drink herbal teas, you can drink water, you could probably put a little bit of, you know, cucumber or lemon or lime in your water, and you'd be fine. But when somebody rests from eating, all the symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis begins to disappear and go away. But what I think is, when you start eating two meals a day instead of three, instead of eating that third meal, your immune system will start removing all the inflammation from the joints and cleaning house, which is what your husband wants. And so technically, every case of rheumatoid arthritis, they have another condition called leaky gut syndrome. And that may be a brand new term for you, but you could look it up. But leaky gut means your husband's eating food, but some of it is passing through the lining of his gut, getting into his bloodstream, and then his body, his immune system, is producing antibodies. So if your husband had the middle knuckle joint of his middle finger on the left hand, if it was as swollen as a plum, I would say, bingo, he's got rheumatoid arthritis. And so if you can correct a leaky gut and you can fix it, then you can do away with the rheumatoid. And one of the ways of doing that is just not eating so much. Do you think your husband would be willing to eat two meals a day?
I think so.
What if you had a blender and in the blender you put some red raspberries and some blueberries and blackberries and maybe some cherries also, and took a big scoop of what's called coconut milk out of a can, plopped it in there, maybe a spoonful of Acerola cherry powder. And if you want to get some, it's called yellow pea protein, if you want to put some protein in there to make it taste good, you could put that in there, blend it up, and say, here, drink your lunch.
Yeah, that protein is just to make it taste good.
Well, and it's just a very easy protein. So if somebody's got a ton of inflammation, I try to give them protein that's easy on their body. So my favorite ones from the animal kingdom have got to be eggs and fish. That's much easier on his system than eating like baby back ribs from the restaurant.
No, we don't do that much. He eats two eggs every morning, usually fried.
That's fine by me. If you just lightly fry them with the lowest heat of all time, that's perfect. I don't care if you use coconut oil or butter to cook them in. That sounds good.
Yeah, but he's got to have that white done.
You mean the white bread?
No, the white part of the egg, you know, how it gets...
Oh, yeah, that part has to be done. That's the protein. That yolk in the middle, that's where all the vitamins and the fat is. That's the other good part for you.
Okay.
So, excellent.
All right, I'll tell him.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I kind of thought about this with the gentleman that called earlier. Most people that have horrible, horrible cramps, they are just not getting enough minerals. And believe me, I am not trying to be critical. I'm just kind of being black and white, so don't think I'm coming down hard on you. But the good news is you're a very curious man, and you like to study and learn. And I think that's to your advantage, and we should take advantage of that. So what if you had one green salad a day? And you said, you know, what am I going to do for a salad dressing? Because I heard Dr. Morgan say the week before that if I use a salad dressing, I'll absorb so many more nutrients from the greens and the other things that are in the salad than if I didn't. You know, some people eat salads dry. You can do that. But if you put an oil on the salad, you will extract so much more nutrients than if you didn't. And so in one study, they said, okay, what is the number one type of salad dressing oil that's used today? And if you go to the grocery store, this is not rocket science. Flip it around, look at the label. It's called soybean oil, and which I'm not here to bash soybean oil because it's really a great oil. If you have a diesel tractor or a Caterpillar bulldozer or a Trackhoe, or you have a diesel Mercedes-Benz or a Dodge pickup, soybean oil is perfect to burn for fuel. So I don't want anybody saying I'm complaining against soybean oil because it's great if you're a diesel engine. Human beings, not so much. But what they did in this one study is they compared very simply, what would happen if we just gave people olive oil to make a salad dressing out of instead of soybean oil? I'm telling you, folks, I had never read this before. This was new information to me, but man, am I excited about it, and I love sharing it with you. But they were able to extract 700% more nutrition from the salad when they used olive oil instead of soybean oil. So, you know, you're smart. You can figure this out. How could you make a salad dressing? Well, if you want it to be like ranch dressing, maybe you could take a scoop of goat yogurt or cow yogurt or sheep yogurt and plop in with the olive oil and stir it up, and bingo, you've got like a ranch-looking dressing.
Well, what if you like the taste of vinegar like I do? Does that make me a weirdo? But if you took some balsamic vinegar and added to it with maybe lemon juice, bingo, you've got like an instant dressing. Or what if you took like a dusting of cayenne pepper and added to that yogurt and olive oil and lemon juice mix? Well, it'd be like a spicy. You could just, it's endless how you can make a salad dressing. But sevenfold, that's 700% more nutrients that you extract. You may not think that your food should matter, that anything that you put in your mouth that tastes good is good for you, but that's just not the way it is. And so ultimately, when you want to get minerals in the body, plants. Hey baby, plants, that's what you need. And so you can go a long way by improving your health and giving minerals to your system just by consuming plant matter. One green salad a day could go a long way to drastically improving your health. I mean, hey, just consider it. So, if you'd like to join me on the radio, oh, there's plenty of time left. There's like 13 minutes probably. 903-586-5257. You know, there's another type of berry. Oh, we got a phone caller here. We'll go to that. That's more important anyway. Why, thank you so much for your phone call. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just good. Just good. I was calling in, that lady that just called in, you were telling her husband of what you were telling.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried, I've called you before, you helped my daughter last week. Anyway, I tried some, from Breaking Bread, they've got a new item that's egg protein. And it's got the whole egg, got the whites and the yellow. And it's in a powder, and it tastes like vanilla. It's really good. And I've been taking it every day with a glass of milk, and I've just noticed a really better feeling out of it. Plus,
oh great!
Of course, I got my wife mad at me because I'm not eating my lunch. She packs for me all of it.
You mean you made her angry again?
Yeah, you just met her last week too, I guess.
I'm only joking.
this is the FedEx guy, and with the cayenne, you helped me with the cayenne, dude. That was great.
Oh, good, awesome.
And but I just wonder what you think of that. It's a non-GMO product, and it's not supposed to be cooked. Now, I've heard...
No, and that's the only way that could be good for you. If it was like, or what I should say is, let me start over. If they use a lower heat to process it, that's fine. I mean, do you know what a food dehydrator is?
Yes.
Like if you were go to, let's say, Gander Outdoors, and you're looking at, okay, how can I make beef jerky and... you know, all this other good stuff, and dehydrate my vegetables. There's a fan in there. The ones that I like are made of stainless steel, and they have these little bitty racks where you could put whatever you want on there. It could be like, you know, just fill in the blank. It could be like apple slices, or you could make, you know, deer or venison jerky. But there's a temperature rheostat on there where you can turn it from anywhere from 80 degrees all the way up to maybe 160. Well, I always think if they were making like egg protein, if they could turn it below 125 degrees, I think that's where it would be awesome. But if they use 700 degrees like most manufacturers do, that's when you destroy the protein, the eggs, and the fat, and it causes oxidation, all sorts of problems. That would be bad egg protein, but yours sounds great.
Well, that's what I've heard from Dr. Wallach. I listened to him on the radio too, but...
Mm-hmm.
He talks about soft cooking your eggs because if you overcook them, you ruin them. You take all the good stuff out of them.
That's completely true. He's right.
But now he sure believes in eggs. He treats some of his people with 14 eggs a day. Well, you know, about cure Alzheimer's and stuff. Cause
you know, I read that article about the man that was like 86 years old, and he shows up at the doctor, and they say, "What'd you have for breakfast?" And he said, I had 12. No, what did he say? I'm sorry, I got the story wrong. But when the nurse questioned him about what he's eating all day long, He averages 12 eggs a day. And she goes, Mr. Brown, you can't do that. Don't you know that eggs are high in cholesterol? And so they said, okay, we got to rush him back to the hospital laboratory and check him because his cholesterol is going to be through the roof and he's going to be near death. And you understand he's in perfect working order.
Right.
And he's 86 years old. And they did the test and said, Mr. Brown, we don't know what you're doing, but we don't like the idea of you eating eggs. And he goes, well, what's my cholesterol? And they said, like, 198. And he's going, well, I'm fine then. Anyway, I just think it's kind of comical. So I think that eggs can be one of the perfect meals or perfect sources of protein and fat. And the beauty of it is they're mainly fat.
Right. They say, I've heard several of them say that the egg is the perfect food.
Yes.
It's got all the aminos. I mean, it's the beginnings of the makings of a chicken.
Well, let's put it this way. If you were to eat some heavy, heavy baby back ribs with thick barbecue sauce or lasagna, is there any chance that that would totally upset your stomach late at night?
Yeah, but it would.
But if you had two eggs cooked over easy, would that totally upset your stomach?
No, I don't believe it would.
No, I don't think it would either.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd...
Oh, I'm glad you're all
thinking about that, because she needs, you know, it's an easy way to take eggs.
It is. But then again, but for some people, you can't replace the joy and the pleasure and the visual stimulation by looking at two eggs over easy, because I know how your wife is. She's probably in the kitchen right now cooking two eggs over easy for you, and she's fixing to serve them to you while you're reclining. Isn't sort of right?
No, she's still asleep in the bed waiting on me to call her, tell her what time to come pick me up.
Oh, okay. Well, I may have gotten the details a little bit off there.
Well, I work nights.
Well, enjoy your... I hope you get to have a day off today and you can rest.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your phone call.
All right, buddy.
All right, take care, man. Bye-bye. All righty, there's time left in the program. Let me read this to you right here. You know, sometimes all you really need is you need information. You know how it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? And I believe the next verse says something to the effect of, because they have rejected knowledge of me, the Holy One of Israel. At least, that may be the New International Version. But you know, you need knowledge and information about what to do. So as I tell you these things, I'm kind of counting on the wheels of your brain moving. And you use your natural God-given imagination and your creativity to think, what am I going to do to help myself? How am I going to get into a better place? What am I going to do? Well, let me read this to you right here. There was a study done in 2013. I know that was 6 years ago. And it was in the Journal of Nutrition. And they found that among women, berries such as strawberries, or specifically strawberries, they additionally slowed glucose digestion when eaten with fiber-packed wheat and rye breads. Now, this is just one study. Another study showed that these superfoods called strawberries, they have cancer-fighting properties. Strawberries were in... I'm just reading the study, but to me, this is very intriguing and exciting. Strawberries were shown to inhibit tumor formation in hamsters. I know it was basically a rat study. According to another study in 2013, in humans, this small study presented at the American Association for Cancer Research showed that eating strawberries helped prevent early lesions from becoming tumors. Well, just stop right there. I don't know how else to look at this. If you knew that you could eat something that was good for you and you loved the taste of it and it was fun and it was pleasant and pleasing to the eyes and to your taste buds, did you hear what I said? It prevents early lesions from developing into tumors. There's no one listening that wants a tumor to form. I mean, everywhere you turn, young people are getting cancer. And I'm still waiting for some studies that really show that the treatments they're offering these young people are really that beneficial. And so if strawberries have been shown to take small lesions and prevent them from turning into tumors, well, why wouldn't you want to incorporate strawberries? And the beauty of it is, strawberries can be completely eaten raw. How long will they keep? Not long. So I'm really okay with the idea. I know this may sound radical, but for some people, a freezer and a refrigerator may end up being one of the greatest inventions in the history of mankind on this planet, because you can keep them fresh. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, real quick. I am taking a half a tablespoon each morning in 12 ounces of water. It's a salt water. It's the Himalayan rock salt in a quart jar filled up with water, and then you dip out.
Oh, no. Are you trying to tell me that you have more energy and you feel better when you do stuff like that?
Well, but I heard you talking about the baking soda. Am I basically doing the same thing?
Not the same thing, because baking soda is sodium bicarbonate. And the main thrust of me recommending baking soda to people is to help alkalize the body and also to help take a lot of the stress off the kidneys. So that's right. Kind of my plot with that. But the salt, here's what, if you asked me, if you said, hey, Roy, who do you think in the world today has problems with their adrenal glands? That's the gland that helps deal with stress. I would say just 98% of the population. But if you put salt in the water and you drink it, has your blood pressure gone up?
No.
Do you think you feel better?
Yes, I am less stressed.
Well, and this is something that helps feed and nourish your adrenal glands. I mean, you've got a brilliant plan. I love it.
Well, the question is, should I add baking soda?
You can, but you wouldn't use a tablespoon. You'd use like half a teaspoon at the most.
Oh, half a teaspoon. Okay.
Yeah. Or you could even use a quarter teaspoon. It's all good.
Okay. Because if you take too much of this salt water, it's a good laxative.
Why are you telling people that have horrible constipation the way to become unconstipated?
I don't know.
No, but that's great.
I've played around with the amount to take, and half a tablespoon is all I can handle.
So you kind of push it up to the limit of not causing loose stools?
Right.
Well, a half of a tablespoon, what is that? Is that a teaspoon and a half?
I don't know.
Are there three teaspoons to a tablespoon? I think that's right.
Probably.
Well, don't you remember taking home ec when you were like a young man in school?
I think I took metal shot.
Well, technically, sodium is a metal. It's in there.
Yeah.
There was metal shot fun?
Yes, but I wasn't any good.
Gotcha. It's all right. But I love, this is great news. Thank you for sharing it with me. But I'm so glad to let thanks for letting me pick your brain and ask if you're better because of it. Keep up the good work.
All righty, thank you.
All right, have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
You know, it's been a while since I've read the information, but back in the 1930s, they tried taking college basketball players and completely taking them off all sodium or salt. And they said, this is going to be so good taking people off salt. They're just going to feel like them. No. They wanted to crawl over, fall out of the bed, and die. They felt so bad. They began to languish and become all depressed and everything because they didn't have any sodium. Folks, your body needs minerals. We didn't talk about it because there's no time, but processed salt's bad. But natural salt is good. That would be Celtic or Himalayan. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I will be back next week at 7 o'clock for another edition of Health Essentials.